Today's program is brought to you by the Museum of Food and Drink, sparking curiosity about food with exhibits you can eat. For more information, visit mofad.org.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network, broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Welcome to Food Without Borders. Welcome to Food Without Borders, a show about food, politics, and all the ways that immigrants make our food system more delicious. I'm your host, Sari Kamen. My guest today is Chef Gaurav Anand. He is the chef and owner of Bhati Indian Grill in Murray Hill, Moti Mahal Deluxe on the Upper East Side, and Awad on the Upper West Side. We're going to be speaking with Chef Anand about his story, when he came to the United States from India, and how he managed to open 3 restaurants in 5 years. We're going to talk a little bit about the current political climate and how it feels to be an immigrant working in the food industry. And then we'll hear about Chef Gaurav's next project, his new restaurant, Roka, which is opening this spring in Chelsea. Welcome to the show, Chef.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
It's an honor to have you here. So, like I said, you somehow came to this country and opened 3 restaurants in 5 years.
Yes, I did.
That is a really impressive feat that I don't think most humans are capable of.
I mean, I would say, as you know, when we were kids, when we were in India, we used to hear America is land of opportunity, and definitely America is.
And you found that to be true?
Yeah, so far.
Well, tell us a little bit, like, let's back it up and tell us a little bit about where you're from. In India, and then when you made the decision to come to the United States and what that experience was like.
So I am from New Delhi, which is capital. So Delhi, which is capital of India. And I grew up there, and I was dating this girl who's my wife now. And she was here for her college. She went to George Mason, and now she works for investment bank Morgan Stanley. And so we were dating on and off, and she was in India. I said, why don't you know, I mean, it's time, we know each other for a while, so why don't you move back to India? She's like, I love India, but you know, you have to come to New York, and then we'll take it from there. So I came here for 2 weeks, and I was like, wow, what a great country, different people, especially in New York. Like, every second person is an immigrant, and it's from different country, different culture. What a place to be in. And then I said, okay, you know what, I'll move here for you, and I'll start my own business. And so I moved here in 2008 when Lehman Brothers fall apart, you know, so that was my entry, like literally the start of recession. And then I said to myself, I said, you know what, it's the right opportunity. There'll be a lot of real estate will be available for restaurants, a lot of people going out of business, a lot of people coming into business. So I started my first...
So you're like, the world is collapsing.
Yeah.
I'm in.
And
you weren't like, oh my God, this is a horrible time to open a restaurant. No one has money to eat out.
No, there was something. There's something in which I felt like something in the air, some vibe, like in New York. I was like, wow, this is... I want to do this, and I'm going to do this. And I opened my first restaurant, which is Bhati, and it did really well, though it was a recession, you know, but still, like, people...
I mean, I remember a lot of restaurants shutting down around that time,
yes,
not
a
opening.
A lot of, like, every day you would have heard this restaurant is closing, especially the high-end one.
Yeah.
And
because all the bankers were out of business and they couldn't just keep using those expense accounts to eat
absolutely.
Anymore.
Absolutely. And so that's what actually exactly that was happening that time. But I knew that it was when Barack Obama like just got in, and like, what worst can be from here? It's not going down anymore.
You're
it's only
like,
going to go up.
Yes, I can.
And
yes, I can.
What is it?
nothing. Bad joke.
So how worse it can be? And that's it. And I made up my mind. I said, I'm going to open at least one restaurant. And, you know, and it did really well.
So when you moved here in 2008, when did Bhati open up?
2010.
I mean, that's really, really impressive. So do you think coming to the United States as someone who had never lived in this country before, someone from India, did you feel more motivated or and like more focused to kind of make this thing happen? Or were there just, did it feel overwhelming, you know, to navigate what it was like to open a restaurant in an entirely new country?
Yeah, it was definitely, it was like, I was nervous, you know, and restaurant requires a lot of effort. And only person I knew was my girlfriend, you know, nobody else. And it was not easy. But I was always motivated. First of all, it was always in my back of my head, oh, it's America, it's America. You know, America is great. So no matter what, I'm going to give this shot.
Why did you have that impression of America?
Because, you know, if you heard like, you know, if you go back and do some research and you see all these big companies, like you talk about GM, you talk about Ford, you talk about any concept related to food, whether McDonald's or whatever, all of these companies have origin is America. And that's was always back of my head. Like, this is one country in the world which has the most, like, their consumption, like, you can take whole world aside and just America consumption itself, what they consume is equivalent to world. So that was always in my head. And especially when I moved to New York, I was like, wow, what a great place and immigrant loving country. Like, you know, like from all over the world, you're seeing people from, I mean, in my restaurant, I have like United Nations. One is from Sri Lanka. One is from Mexico. One is from India. One is from Pakistan. One is from, so like, if you see, so it was like a great experience that knowing these people, learning a little bit Spanish, poquito, comida, you know, like, wow, it's a different world itself. Like, it has its own world. So that was that thing in my head that I love the culture. In 2 weeks, I was in like madly in love with U.S. I was like, wow.
Had you visited any other cities beyond New York?
Yes, D.C., Dallas.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So I didn't, yeah, D.C., Dallas. I love Dallas. And
which is very different from New York.
It is. And San Francisco, of course, Silicon Valley. You, being an Indian, you have to make a trip there. So, you know, so
okay.
So that's another thing. So I loved it. And I'm like, it's a great place you want to be. And I knew that people would respond to my cuisine. It's Indian food. Has that time in 2010-09, it was not that popular, but people were still getting used to it. And I said, you know what, we are going to open a restaurant, which is not just going to be a restaurant, it's going to be institution. We are going to teach people and understand this food better. And we were able to achieve that in Bhati. And then we opened Moti Mahal, which is one of the most popular restaurant in India. Like, we have 110 location all over India. So we opened that and we got 2 stars from Pete Wells, New York Times. And being nobody, he picked my restaurant. He gave me that opportunity that, okay, you know, I'll give you guys a shot. He tried our food, gave us 2 stars. We were very popular. Then we opened the third one, which is Awadh on 98 and Broadway, which is also doing very well. So that's pretty much about these three restaurants. Like, they all have different food and they all did really, really well.
So what were you doing before you moved to the United States? What was your experience? Were you a chef?
I have restaurants. I had restaurants back home in India, and I always used to travel different parts of India and learn different food. The reason was, in India, every 20 miles, flavor of the food change. So you're eating lentil, let's say, in Delhi, it's completely different. You go to Punjab, it's completely different. So I was always curious to learn. I never went to school. I never went to culinary school, but I learned from different people. Let's say if somebody makes great lentil, so I went, say, I want to learn this dish, if you don't mind. And I want, so that's how I learned from different people. And
did you find that when you came to the United States that people weren't aware so much about the regionality of Indian cuisine? Because I feel like, you know, so many restaurants in the United States, when you eat Indian food, it's kind of presented as like a monolithic cuisine. It's like,
Yeah.
You've got curries and you've got this and you've got this. And like, it's so often the same, which is comforting. Like you can go to a menu and recognize, like I always order chana masala. Can you talk a little bit about like the different specific ways you've approached the restaurants to, you know, talk to,
sure,
to showcase the different regional cuisines?
So when I moved here, I discovered chicken tikka masala myself. There's called chicken tikka masala in India. I discovered chicken vindaloo, which is nothing, especially where I come from, North India, which is the most popular place for this cuisine. And I'm like, wow, you know, like this food, I mean, what is this food? I'm not able to understand. I was confused myself. And then I decided, took a bold step. I said, you know what? We are going to do what we do in Delhi, how we eat in Delhi. We are going to be original. We don't want to change our food no matter what. We are going to keep it original. And that's how I started. And I started with kebabs. Kebabs is like grill barbecue.
Yeah.
And so we started educating people, and people were like, you don't have samosas. No, we don't have samosas. Oh, why? You know, try this.
So people actually came in and like, complained. Were disappointed.
And, but I said, try it. If you don't like it, you don't have to pay, but try something new.
You said you don't have to pay?
Yeah. So like, try it. It was, and then people are like, sure, no problem. And then they love it. And now we always have a line outside the door. And we never have a problem like explaining food again. And we change the culture. And then other restaurants started copying the same concept and say, you know what, when this guy who landed from nowhere can do this, we've been in business for so many years, why can't we do it? So everybody started bringing more upscale, started respecting Indian food. So earlier it was like chicken tikka masala. I was like, what is this? Like, all I know, there's nothing like that exists in India.
Yeah, so you feel like you've actually changed a lot of people's perceptions about what Indian food is.
Absolutely, 100%. And then when I opened my second restaurant, we made sure that we would bring this black lentil, which is very, very popular in north of India, called dal makhani. And so that's what Pete Wells and other critics, they loved it. So it was original, it was lentil, and then we got this very popular chicken dish, which is called butter chicken. So we use this special butter, which comes from India. It's called amul butter. It changed the flavor of that sauce completely once you use that. So that was another very popular dish. And you would not find that dish till date. It's only our restaurant. We do it authentic way. And people love that. So when we open Awadh is like a region like Lucknow. So we use that cuisine, like cuisines of royal, like all kings, queens, when they used to rule India, they used to eat of the cuisine, like royal, rich, like rich food. And so we started that. So the only thing we were able to capitalize was that we were able to explain people that our food are from different regions. So that's definitely did help us.
And when you were first trying to, you know, even secure a space to open the first restaurant, was it, like, what were some of the challenges? Because you had never lived in this country before. You were so new. Like, I read that you were, you told a landlord about your father being, like, a Supreme Court lawyer in the United, or in India, to try and, like, make him understand that you came from, like, a really prestigious and respectful family. And he was like, who cares?
Yeah, he did. He's like, you don't have, you don't have your credit score. And your credit is not, you know, like, enough to give you a lease. And I said, he's like, America run on credit. I said, no, I thought America run on Dunkin' Donuts.
So, that's a good one.
So he's like, America run on credit. I was like, no, America run on Dunkin' Donuts.
That's hilarious.
So
how did you overcome those challenges though? Like having nothing to show for yourself?
Yeah, I mean, it was tough. I just told him, I said, please just give me a chance, you know, like, somebody give somebody a chance. And this great landlord, Eli Samuel, you know, my first landlord, he gave me that opportunity. He's like, okay, you got it.
Shout out to Eli Samuel.
Yeah. So, you know, great landlord and helped me, supported me. Great, great guy. And that's how, but it was tough. And then I have no idea about how the rules are here with the fire and building department, nothing. I was completely new. I never worked for anybody in my life. And I was always used to do my own business, and I am doing business in the country where I don't know how to take a subway to go to downtown, and I'm doing a business. And my girlfriend is like, he's like, you're crazy.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? It's not crazy. I like to take risk, and I want to take this risk. And I did, and it paid off.
Yeah, it's really impressive. So, you know, let's talk a little bit about, let's bring us up to speed where we are today in 2017. It's, you know, it's no longer 2008. We no longer have Barack Obama as the president. When you came here, you talked about how you felt like this country really embraced immigrants, and it was just this wonderful tapestry of diversity, and that made you feel so welcome and optimistic. What does it feel like now? I mean, the dynamic has completely shifted.
So, I mean, election night, yeah. So I was in Italy, and so before I left, the restaurants business were booming. Like, we're doing great numbers, great. After election night, our sale dropped 30% or maybe more.
What?
You know? Yeah, just after, like, something happened. So I'm in Italy, and I'm calling my manager. I'm asking. I was like, what happened? He's like, I don't know. Suddenly, everything is still. Like, there are no people on the street. I don't know what to tell you. And we used to do, in 2016, 15, 14, 13, great numbers. They're like peak numbers for us, November, December, Jan, Feb. And those were our worst number after, I don't know what made people feel and how they felt. They felt insecure, and our numbers went down. But now, you know, it's picking up slowly, but it's still not there.
Well, why do you think the numbers went down?
I think people were not expecting the election result, especially, you know, immigrants. And I think they got a little... Earlier, they used to spend money. They feel that this is the home, right? Mm. And if somebody was on an H-1 visa who's making good money and he's spending that money here, but for them, America is home. But now they think, we don't know what will happen to our green card. We don't know whether we'll get our renewal of our H-1 visa or not. And maybe we have to go back. Or maybe we have to do something else. And everybody started holding back. And especially in ethnic restaurants, Indian, Mexican, you talk about, they are definitely affected. And I can tell you about Indian restaurants. Why? Because all my restaurants have a very good following of 50-50, like 50% Indian people and 50%. From different cultures. And I could see that we used to do great numbers in lunch because of Credit Suisse, which is right across on 27th. We were on 27th, they're on 24th. And we could see that our lunch business went down because, and I was talking to people, I said, I don't see you. What happened? He's like, oh, we're just taking it back. We're just holding it back. And though you see stock market going up, and if in 2009-10, when stock market used to go up, you would see New York City, like, restaurants slamming, busy. It's going up. It's on the highest point, but I still don't understand why restaurants are not busy like before. It's unbelievable. It's unreal. Like, why is that? And, yeah, I mean, it's pretty...
I mean, are you saying that people just don't... They're feeling depressed, so they're not going out and enjoying food, or are you saying like they're specifically not going out because it's an ethnic restaurant?
I think especially immigrants who are here on H-1 visa or H-2 or whatever, when they used to spend, they never had that hitch. Oh, you know, this is their home. But now they feel scared and they feel maybe we have to go back. They're not secure. And immigrants are the people who spend most of the money. They make that money here. They buy houses, they rent houses, they buy cars. And they bring that money back into United States. And now they're holding back.
Oh, I see.
And they don't want to spend. They feel insecure. And suddenly the whole dynamic change after elections. I see some improvement, but I don't see much. I'll give you an example. When those immigration raids started, if you heard about ICE is doing this, ICE is doing that. And I have, like, legit, I'm talking about legit people. I'm in subway, I'm sitting and I'm listening to Mexican guys talking to each other. He's like, oh, I didn't go to work for last week, you know, like, and, you know, I could understand what they're saying.
Because they're scared that if they're in a public place, they're not going to get them.
Yeah, if they're not going to work, they're not going to eat pizza or they're not going to eat a sandwich on a deli. So the sale number is going to go down, right? Like, so that's how I felt it really, really affected small business, especially not high-end restaurants, not really like very, very high-end restaurants, but definitely restaurants like which are in there. I mean, where you could spend $30, $40, $50 and have a good meal. Definitely those restaurants got hit by it, and especially ethnic restaurant.
Yeah. How do you think that the election in the United States has changed or not changed Indians' perceptions of the United States? Like maybe when you talk to your friends or family back home, do they still feel like America is this, you know, wonderful land of opportunity?
They don't want to come. Like, really? I know a lot of kids who used to call me and ask me, oh, I want to go to Columbia, I want to go to NYU, and I want to work there. But now they think they'll come here, they'll study, they'll not have a job. So why to spend? And they spend money. They bring like $200,000 in revenue for universities. It's not that they are going to school for free. You know, they spend that money, so they want to hold back. And you will see maybe end of this year, once the whole season starts for colleges, you will see a lot of students from immigrant countries. They're not coming, like China, India. I mean, you will see they're holding back, and they don't want to come. The only reason they were coming here, okay, you know, we go to school here, we get a good job, we get that American dream, for which I was here. And, you know, so now people understand it's not there anymore. Like, there is some sort of barrier, some sort of difference, or something has been divided, you know. They don't feel the same.
They feel unwelcome.
Yes, absolutely. So they don't want to come. You know, like, I'll give you an example. I was talking to one of my customer, and she's Indian, and she told me, it's like, so how was your trip to India? She's like, great. She's American citizen. She was held at JFK Airport for 1 hour just because, don't know what is the reason, but she's like, they were asking me, how did I get this? How did I get that? How I came to this country, what I was doing in India. And it's India. The only thing is her flight was coming from Abu Dhabi or something. So that was her thing. Like, I am legit American citizen. I was born here, but I'm Indian. And I had this experience. So
yeah, that must be really disheartening and humiliating.
It is pretty shocking, you know. But
yeah.
See, we don't see that much in New York, because New York is very multicultural, very mm-hmm. welcomed still, because we all are immigrants. But definitely when I have a friend, he works for a firm called EXL. So he travels a lot all over U.S. It's like a consulting firm which provides help to Credit Suisse, Morgan Stanley. They provide, like, they get these H-1 visas for people who are working in these banks, and they all are IT. Like, it's not they are. I'm not talking about cooks. I'm not talking about somebody doing an odd job. I'm talking about a graduate from, you know, a technology background in technology, not like somebody who just crossed the border and came in. And this was his reply to me. I was like, so how's he's like, I don't feel like leaving New York. I said, why? He's like, I think he was in Seattle or where. He said, I've never seen, you know, the reaction which I got from people. He's been here for almost 14 years. He's like, I've never felt like that. And he's like, I was asking the guy, you know, which train or something. And his reply was absolutely, he's like, why are you looking for a train? You need a plane to go back.
What?
Yeah, something like that, he said. And I was like, shocked. He's like, I don't feel like, you know. So it's pretty strange. You know, it's like when there is a situation like this, there are some people who have a bad mouth and they want to take a perfect opportunity of it and say things which they have in their head for years. And now it's the time when they feel, okay, this is the time I can say whatever I want. I can do whatever I can. And, you know, it's pretty sad, you know, that how immigrants feel now. Like, it's not, they don't feel the same.
Yeah. How is food a way to change people's kind of misconception about immigrants?
So I would say, so food is something like, food is something which brings people together, right? And when they eat Indian food, and when, let's say, when an American couple first time come to an Indian restaurant, and when you're explaining them about the culture, this is how we eat, eat with our hand, or we eat this dish with a fork, when you explain them. So it brings two different cultures together, you know, and which I would say, which I personally, when I was educating people about Indian food, which I saw in 2009-10, I don't see it anymore. I don't know exactly what it is, but there is something which has divided people. You know, there's some sort of air, or there's something like which people feel like, oh, I am American, you're Indian. Earlier it was like, oh, we both live in America, you know, we're same. That's what I feel.
You feel a stronger divide as an immigrant at this point.
Yes, absolutely.
Is your position as a chef and a restaurateur, do you think that helps you kind of overcome those feelings, because you have this kind of tool to connect with other people and you can say, this is my food and this is an extension of who I am, and you're coming to my restaurant, you're coming into my home?
Yes, I do that, and it does. But think about it, but the guy who's a waiter somewhere in Queens in a, let's say, a hole in the wall place, he doesn't have the thing. Mm-hmm. And he cannot overcome this whole situation. And especially when times like this, where, you know, where people feel scared. And so whatever you're doing, you're just scared. Like I personally feel like, let's think about it, a waiter in a Queens restaurant, and a dude walks in with a thick accent, and he'll do a mistake, like pouring a water. He'll say, oh, what the hell are you doing here? Go back to your fucking country. You know, like, I've heard stories, like, where people say such words.
Yeah.
And these guys can't even respond. Earlier, they used to respond back, fight back. They just take it. Like, okay, you know, let it go. But this is the reality.
So what would you say to someone in that situation? Do you have any advice? I mean, coming from your kind of privileged perspective as a chef?
So I think this is what I would say, that why the fuck you're in my restaurant first to eat if you don't like me. And if I'm so sorry, but I just said that, but, you know.
That's okay.
Why are you here?
Yeah.
Like, these are immigrants who are cooking, who are spending hours.
Yeah, I see that as being such a disconnect between people who want to eat out in restaurants, yeah, but don't appreciate, like, who's actually cooking the food.
Cooking the food, mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like, spend hours to cook food for you. You know, definitely it's our bread and butter. We are doing this. We're making money over it, absolutely. But if you don't like my country, if you don't like my culture, if you don't like me, why are you eating my food? You don't have to. Go eat whatever you want to. Have a sausage, have a burger. You know, don't eat this food. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's what I would...
You would encourage people, absolutely, in those situations to stand up for themselves.
Yeah, because... end of the day, there's something called self-respect and pride. And as an immigrant, as an Indian chef and a business owner, I take pride in that what I do.
Yeah.
Like, we all...
So if someone in your restaurant spoke to one of your waiters or busboys like that, they would have the authority to stand up for themselves and defend themselves.
Absolutely.
And you would have their back.
Absolutely. I'll give you an example. So... and this incident happened with me. So I had this two girls drinking in my restaurant, and there is this table waiting, old lady waiting outside with this little kid, and their drinks were finished, their food was finished. And so I go, so my waiter goes and tell her, is it please possible for you to vacate the table? You know, these people are waiting, this little kid is hungry, waiting for 30 minutes, and you guys are just chit-chatting. And she goes and tell, exactly this was the words, like, seriously, I thought you guys are fucking crazy, but you guys are fucking disrespectful. You know, this is what your culture is. These are exactly the words. And I overheard and I went to her. I said, let me explain you my culture. My culture is, if I see an elderly person waiting outside my restaurant and I see two girls drunk in their 20s, just sitting chit-chatting, and it was raining that day. Like, my culture is, I'll offer my chair. If I'm in a subway and I am going and I'm sitting and I see an elderly person standing, I'll offer my seat to that person. That is my culture. That's the culture I come from. I don't know what is your culture. And she's like, so one of them was from London, and I could make out from her accent. And she's like, oh, what the fuck? You guys will be out of business the way you behave. I said, you're done eating, 40 minutes, 30 minutes, you've been just sitting here. And this older lady been waiting for that table with her niece or whatever, daughter, you know, they want to sit and have a meal like you. And she said to me, peace out or whatever. And I said, you know what, let me tell you one more thing before you leave. You're no more king and queens. It's not London. Mm-hmm. You need to come back to reality. Okay, you're human beings. You're no more kings and queens. You can't just take an advantage when you're sitting in an Indian restaurant or in any ethnic restaurant, curse or say whatever. You won't do this if you go to a French restaurant. You would never behave like that. You know? It's just an edge they think they have over ethnic restaurants. Mm-hmm. Like, they can behave whatever they want because they're a minority. And like to take advantage of it. And when they were leaving, I said, you're no more king and queens. Maybe you need to come back to reality, you know?
Yeah.
So
you think they would have not behaved like that had they been in more of a European derived cuisine style restaurant?
Never.
Huh.
Never.
It's an interesting thing. All right. Well, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to talk about your new restaurant, Iraq.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Dave Arnold, the host of Cooking Issues on the Heritage Radio Network. We all know and love Chinese takeout dishes like General Tso's chicken and egg rolls, but here's the thing. Even though we call it Chinese food, it's not like the food you'd find in China. What's the story behind this cuisine, and how did it become so popular that you can find a Chinese-American restaurant in nearly every town in the country? The answers may surprise you. Visit the Museum of Food and Drink in Brooklyn and see our newest exhibition, Chow, Making the Chinese-American Restaurant. Chow engages visitors with compelling accounts of how Chinese immigrants overcame racism and created Chinese-American cuisine. Discover the science behind the flavors of your favorite takeout dishes, feast on rotating tastings developed by the country's most talented Chinese-American chefs, and try your hand at writing your own fortune, which will be baked into actual cookies by a 1,500-pound fortune cookie machine. What better way to learn, connect, and eat? You can visit Chow at the Museum of Food and Drink on Fridays through Sundays from noon to 6. Tickets and more information can be found at mofad.org.
Hey, you've been listening to Food Without Borders on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Sari Kamen, and my guest today has been Chef Gaurav Anand. How are you doing over there? Eating some pizza?
Oh, yes, great.
Word on the street is you have a new restaurant opening.
May 2nd week in Chelsea. And it's going to call Roca.
And it's opening the second week of May, you said?
Yes.
Well, that's very soon.
Yes.
That's very exciting.
We named it Roca. So Roca means engagement. And our concept is what we are doing there. As you see what's happening, people are divided. So what brings people together is food. You walk into a restaurant, you would see an Indian table eating, you will see an Asian table eating, you'll see a Mexican table eating, you'll see an American table eating. So what brings people together under one roof is food. And so it's engagement of Indian food with Western culture. So we have our mixologist is from U.S., born and raised here. And I am an Indian chef. And my line cooks are from Mexico. And without them, I can't perform. You know, they are the strength behind our food.
Well, I think that's true for most restaurants. And you kind of just made that point a moment ago when we were taking a break, is that, you know, people come into restaurants, you know, with the expectation that they're going to eat this beautiful food, but don't necessarily respect, you know, the people who are serving it to them. And it's like, without immigrants, there are no restaurants.
There are no restaurants. You have to eat in paper plates because there are no dishwashers. You have to use disposable for sure. And and there'll be no delivery, by the way.
And also, really, your food wouldn't be cooked because there wouldn't be enough support in the kitchen.
And there'll be no Uber. There'll be no Lyft. There'll be no Get. Because it's all, if you see all the Uber Get drivers, all are immigrants. So,
yeah. I was going to, like, in this last segment, kind of shift away from politics to lighten the mood a little bit. But before we do that, I mean, you did mention to me before we started the show that after the election, you wanted to maybe halt the opening of your new restaurant. And yes. I didn't get to ask you why.
So I was like, oh, suddenly you see a drop in your sales and you don't know what is the reason, you know, that stock market is going up. You're like, oh, my God, what do I do? And then you're like, oh, maybe you want to hold off. And then I'm like, you can't. But then we changed the whole story of our concept, which will change the whole vision of our restaurant. We made it a place called Roca.
Oh, so the name and the whole concept came
changed
after the election.
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
After the election. So I always had that I want to open a restaurant.
Kind of like this show.
Absolutely. So that's how we changed. We said, you know what? So I'll give you an example. We are doing a dish. It's like potatoes, and then we are stuffing asparagus. So asparagus is not an Indian thing.
Yeah.
So we are bringing asparagus into our food. Then we are using taco tortillas with our chicken. Imagine like Indian style chicken with those tortillas.
Oh, okay. You know?
So we said, We are doing masala goat cheese. Like goat cheese, we are making masala goat cheese. So what we are trying to do is say that food is the only thing which brings actually people together and brings smiles on their face. And when you're drinking, when you're eating, you're happy and you're in your own different zone. And Roca is a place where you would walk in and you would... And that's why I mentioned all my cooks are Mexican and... My mixologist is American, and one of the guys who would be working on the floor is from Sri Lanka, you know, so...
So this is a post-election restaurant.
Yes.
Where people can enjoy and maybe not think about the election.
Absolutely.
And just focus on the food.
Yes. So that's our concept. Like, we wanted to do something which is not, again, like, we're not doing an Indian restaurant.
Yeah, it's very different because your other places are so hyper regional.
And what we wanted to make a point that if Indian food can get along with Western spices and Western herbs, Indian people can also get along with Western people. You know, that's the
food as a metaphor.
Yeah, like means, you know. So that's our pretty much about that restaurant.
Yeah, well, that sounds exciting, and it sounds delicious, and it sounds really fun.
Yeah, and our architect is from Korea, by the way.
Our architect is from Korea, wow. Yeah. So everyone's really represented there.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's in Chelsea, where is it?
22nd and 9th.
Okay, and it's going to be open in 2 weeks?
2 weeks, and May 2nd week.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Tell us, where are your other restaurants, and then how can we also find out more about the opening and follow the progress and know for sure when it's going to be open?
So we have our website, rocanyc.com, and we'll have all the updates on that website. And then we have our Facebook page. Facebook connects people, yeah. So we have a Facebook page which says RocaNYC. You will see all the updates. And you will see, like, what we are trying to do. So Chelsea itself, its whole community. So we want to be part of that community. And what we are trying to do is we are trying to call people from the neighborhood who lives there to our friends and family. Mm-hmm. So I don't have any my people I know. I'm not calling them. I'm making new friends and telling them, you know, you need to come for my tasting. So it's like friends and family.
Yeah, so it's really going to be kind of a neighborhood restaurant.
Neighborhood restaurant, connect, like how you connect with their culture? How do you connect with, how do they respond to our food? And yeah, so that's pretty much about
Chelsea. Well, that's certainly something to look forward to.
Absolutely.
Do you feel optimistic? Like with everything that's happening, do you feel like, you know, this is hopefully just kind of a dark period in our American history and eventually that pendulum will shift?
Yeah, I mean.
I mean, it's nice when I hear, you know, people like you and doing things that are kind of inspired by the political climate, but trying to create something that's really bringing people together and making something positive out of a negative.
Yes. Yeah, I think what I feel is, I would say, you know, maybe a couple of years or I hope months, you know, a few months, like people change, they feel more secure, they come out, they spend more money like they were doing it, and it's back to normal.
Yeah.
So if you're asking me that, Gaurav, do you feel everything is normal like before? So I'll say, no, it's not.
Right.
And I feel it. I have friends who feel it. I have my employees who feel it. They all feel it. And that really hurts.
Yeah.
And that's why I was thinking, oh my God, I'm opening a new restaurant. Like, you know. But you know what is the best part? I'm opening in Chelsea. So that's itself. It's its own community, its own culture. And so
we just make our own worlds, don't
yes,
we?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Chef Anand, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure to have you.
Thank you. My pleasure.
It's a difficult conversation sometimes, but I'm happy there's people like you that are out there spreading
absolutely
optimism and, you know, fighting the good fight.
Absolutely. America is land of opportunity. America will always be land of opportunity, and few people cannot change it. And that's why we all stand together and make sure, you know, like we all are in this together.
Yeah. So. Well, amen to that. You have been listening to Food Without Borders on Heritage Radio Network. Once again, I'm your host, Sari Kamen. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you, Sari.
For listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.